Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama. Well, we've been reading from Canto 10, Chapter 8. Have you been following along in the evening so you know where we are? No.
I have at least some.
Okay. Well, there's many things. It's a long chapter in Chapter 8, but it's largely connected to Krishna's childhood pastimes. And one of his childhood pastimes, the most recent one discussed, they kind of like lead up to Mother Yashoda looking inside Krishna's mouth and seeing what she saw inside Krishna's mouth. And the Acharyas say this Leela happened, one of the reasons the Leela happened was Krishna wanted the motherly affection of Mother Yashoda chastising him. Most children don't like that. But it's part of parental affection. I mean, sometimes it's not parental affection, but it's part of parental affection. And Krishna wanted to be on the receiving end of Mother Yashoda's parental affection. And so, with all of his butter-stealing, muck-and-chore pastimes, she didn't chastise him, she just hugged him. And that was nice, but he did something that she would scold him for. He ate dirt. And so, when she heard that, she challenged him. And so forth. And after she saw what was inside his mouth, there were several changes, but it ended up They're each one of them are important. Like, if you're going to be Mother DeSoto, you have to know how to read your script. But it wasn't just, we're going to hear Mother DeSoto and Nanda Maharaj are expansions of Krishna's body, his swarup. They're in the category, like Radha is his Ladini Shakti, they're his, the personal expansion of Krishna's affection towards parents and parents towards him. So they're eternal associates of Krishna, Nitya Siddha entities. They're not even jivas, they're in another category, his spiritual potency. But then there's Leela, and as she went through the consideration of who is he, and then what did I just experience? And she went through some options and rolled them out and concluded, it's some special power of the personality of Godhead, Narayan, like Gargamuni said during the name-giving ceremony of Krishna. So then she starts praying to Narayan, this and that and that and that, and finally, please protect my son. And so then from that point on, she just becomes steeped in motherly affection. She forgets everything. And then Sukadev Goswami ends by saying, Mother DeSoto is on the topmost level. The Vedas teach different elevated realizations of the Lord, of Ishwara. Mother DeSoto, she's beyond all that. She just sees her son, sees Krishna as her son. She's overwhelmed with parental affection. And Sukadev Goswami says that in ecstasy. And hearing from him, Maharaj Pritchard goes, wow. And two questions. One question is, what austerities have they undergone in order to achieve that kind of love for Krishna? And then a second one says, they're more fortunate than Vasudeva and Devaki, who were known as giving birth to Krishna, but they didn't experience his childhood pastimes like Nanda Jasoda did, so they're most fortunate. So in response to his question, Shukadev Goswami says, text 48, to follow the orders of Lord Brahma, Drona, the best of the Vasus, along with his wife Dara, spoke to Lord Brahma in this way. We're going to hear what he says. As stated, so purport. Now this is Prabhupada's purport. Chapter 8. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ananda Chinmaya Rasapati Bhavita Bhis Tabirya Eva Nijarupataya Kalabhihi Goloka Eva Nabisatya Kilatmavoto Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. When Krishna descends anywhere, he is accompanied by his own associates. These associates are not ordinary living beings. Krishna's pastimes are eternal, and when he descends, he comes with his associates. Therefore, Nanda and Mother Yashoda are the eternal father and mother of Krishna. This means that whenever Krishna descends, Nanda and Yashoda, as well as Vasudeva and Devaki, also descend as the Lord's father and mother. Their personalities are expansions of Krishna's personal body. There it is. They are not ordinary living beings. Maharaj Pariksit knew this, but he was curious to know from Shukadeva Goswami whether it is possible for an ordinary human being to come to the stage by sadhana siddhi. There are two kinds of perfection, nitya siddhi and sadhana siddhi. A nitya siddha is one who is eternally Krishna's associate in expansion of Krishna's personal body, whereas a sadhana siddha is an ordinary human being who, by executing pious activities and following the regular principles of devotional service, also comes to that stage. So here's an important sentence. Thus, the purpose of Maharaj Pariksit's inquiry was to determine whether an ordinary human being can attain the position of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And Shukadev Goswami answered this question as follows. So are you, would you like an explanation of how Yashoda and Nanda match up with Drona and Dara?
Yes.
Yes? It's a little bit of a mystery, but it's not too difficult. There's other things more mysterious than this. This is now according to Gopal Champu, where Narayana instructed Nanda and Yashoda to expand themselves in a partial expansion, or angsa, to reside in the heavenly kingdom, heavenly realm. So they expanded themselves as Drona and Dara. So Drona was residing amongst the Vasus, and at the proper time, when it was time for Krishna's advent in this world, Drona and Dara approached Lord Brahma. We would like to have a child, and not an ordinary child, we would like the personality of Godhead as our child. Could you please give us this benediction? And Brahma smiled and said, sure. And when the time came, Nanda and Yashoda had descended, and a portion of Drona and Dara expanded to enter into the body of Nanda and Yashoda. So while Krishna became the child of the two, Nanda and Yashoda, they were also present, like two entities within one form, something like that. And so they experienced Krishna's childhood pastimes as mother and father. A little unusual, but that's what the explanation is given. And then when Krishna's pastimes ended, he wound up his worldly, his Bhoma Lila, and he, Nanda and Yashoda, four things. Nanda and Yashoda entered into their aprakat lila in Vrindavan. Two, Krishna arranged for Drona and Dara and other devas to return to the heavenly realm. And these those that were in Vraja. He arranged for a Vaikuntha Vimana to come. This is Padma Purana, or Acharya is quoted often. Vaikuntha Vimana to take them back to Goloka. So the Prakat forms, those three things happened, and then another expansion of Krishna went to Dwaraka to finish the Dwaraka pastimes. Make everything Aprakat. There's some interesting details. This is found in the 11th canto, I believe it's chapter 6, where the demigods, headed by Brahma, visit Dwaraka. Then they offer prayers to Krishna, and they make a request. You appeared at our request to come and destroy the demons. The demons have been destroyed. Thank you very much. It is now suitable, if you so desire, to return to your spiritual abode. And they departed. So Krishna began making, not because of their request, but it was part of the Leela, that he then began making arrangements for all the residents of Dwarka to also depart, and Dwarka to sink back into the ocean. And this is the 11th canto. It's right in the 11th canto. And there's other, it's a little, gets involved, but it's all there. When we visited Dwarka, I had the challenge of piecing together the whole thing. So, if you remind me, I'll send you that document that just has the chronology of Krishna's departure, and mixed in with Krishna's departure is Krishna speaking Uddhava Gita to Uddhava. It took place in Dwarka before the Moksha Lila, Prabhas, everyone, the battle between the family members. After Krishna spoke Uddhava Gita to Uddhava, he sent him to Bhadrikashram to convey his messages that he had taught to Uddhava to the followers of Naranarayan Rishi in Bhadrikashram. So off we went to Bhadrinath, and then meanwhile Krishna is making arrangements for the departure of the residents of Dwarka, because Uddhava knew that was what Krishna was up to in his pastimes, and he was very distressed. So then when he went to Prabhas and the annihilation of the Yadu clan took place, Uddhava did a U-turn. He heard Krishna's in Prabhas. So he came back to Prabhas feeling, yeah, you're going to leave now. I mean, he knew he was going to leave, but he came back. And that's where Maitreya sat and heard Krishna speaking with Uddhava. And then Krishna sent it again. Uddhava went. Maitreya went. And then later is when Vidura is on pilgrimage. Balaram departs, Krishna departs. Vidura meets Uddhava. Uddhava sends him to Maitreya. And then comes, you know, third canto, fourth canto, etc. The talks between Maitreya and Vidura. The Bhagavatam, it doesn't present it like it chronologically. It's over here and over there and over there and over there and over there. And you kind of like have to put the puzzle pieces together. But that's just fine. It's all Krishna Katha. That's Drona and Dara. Now, a little detail, and you hear it from the commentary also. This is the conclusion of chapter 8, which precedes chapter 9. And chapter 9 is the Damodar Leela, and the Damodar Leela focuses on especially Yashoda. So, we're going to hear some glorification of Yashoda, even more so, more special than Nanda, but then there's this hierarchy of Yashoda, then Nanda, and so forth. And it has so much to do with the intensity of their parental affection, because there's this other list of others that also have a parental-like relationship, like Kunti and others that have a parental-like relationship. But, you know, superlative amongst them all is Mother Yashoda. So he's telling, chapter 9 begins with this mood that Maharishi Pariksit asked this question for the reason mentioned, but the answer that Nanda and Jasoda, Arjuna and Dara, he wasn't so satisfied with, because he knows they're nityasiddhas. So although he's asking someone, can someone become? So he's answering the question. But, you know, wait a minute, what's going on? Nanda and Jasoda are eternal. So then he, chapter 9. Yes, not only they're eternal, they're very special. And so that's the flow. Okay, so here's Jiva Goswami's commentary. The truth of the matter will be told in the next chapter, 9. Yashoda's, it's not like Drona and Dara became, but they entered into the body of Nanda Jasoda. The truth of the matter will be told in the next chapter. First, however, Shukadev gives a shadow of truth until the end of this chapter in response to the question of, quote, what pious acts did they do? By explaining their sadhana. These expansions of Nanda and Yashoda, that's Drona and Dara, can be considered non-different from them. Drona was the best of the Vasus since he was an Ansha of Nanda. Brahma told them, after they made an appeal, he instructed them, go to the arena, the area of Mathura, develop the mood of cowherds, and be friendly with Vasudev. Nanda and Vasudev had friendship. Sanatana Goswami writes, such a piety does not exist in this world. He asks the question with amazement. The two obtained the nectar of Krishna's infant pastimes obtainable only by intense affection for the Lord, by praying for the highest bhakti, which is a sadhana. They're not sadhakas. In order to give this answer later, chapter 9, first, the previous lives of the two are described in 3 verses. Paragraph. Drona was the best of the Vasus since he was an avatar of Nanda. Brahma told them to go to the area of Mathura, Adeshan, and protect the cows. Plural is used to show respect for the order's greatness. That's the order of being a cowherd in Braja. He indicates joy or certainty. All this is well known. Not so well known to me. I had to spend some time trying to understand it. But it was well known to Pariksit and Vedic, you know, people. Here's Vishwanath's commentary, and then we'll read Jayadev, and then we're done. Shukadev Goswami said, to follow the orders of Lord Brahma, Drona, the best of the Vasus, along with his wife Dara, spoke to Brahma in this way. Commentary. Because Krishna's appearance and his childhood pastimes are eternal, Nanda and Yashoda should also be nityasiddha, eternally liberated associates. A sadhana siddha has not qualified to attain the same post as Nanda and Yashoda. But it's not even a post, it's their eternal position. Knowing this, and that his answer should be suitable to the devotional nature of the question, Shukadev replied to King Pariksit with an indifferent attitude, following the order of Brahma means the order to appear as gopas and gopis in Vrindavan. No. Canto 10, Chapter 1, Brahma gave a general instruction to the devas. Lord Vishnu will appear. He wants you to take birth on earth first by your expansion to assist him in his pastimes. Now, this apparently is a very special instruction for Drona and Dara. It may be connected with that Canto 10, Chapter 1 instruction or not, doesn't say. And finally, Jayadeva Goswami from Gita Govinda. It says, Part 1, Section 97, Text Number 2. The reason for this is in the commentary about Jayadeva and this particular sloka, mention is made of the verse that we're just reading, Text 48. Here's the translation of what Jayadeva writes. The poet Jayadeva, whose heart is the abode of extraordinary topics created by spiritual Saraswati, and who is the best dancer at the feet of Radha, writes this work containing the amorous pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And second, the author, whose heart is absorbed in the proper object of worship, promises to make a work filled with the highest Shingara Rasa. By describing the pastimes of the Lord, who is attractive to all people having knowledge of Rasa, the poet Jayadeva writes this book. And specifically, Jayadeva's name is mentioned in the text. Just a comment before we go further. The spiritual Saraswati. What's that? Or who is she? Well, there's the goddess Saraswati within the material world, and she's an expansion of the spiritual counterpart of the spiritual world. Or in Bhaktisiddhanta's language, he calls her the prototype Saraswati. You know what a prototype means? When people want to get something patented, they have to send the original. And if they get a patent, then copies can be made from the patented prototype. So they're just copies of the patented prototype. The original. That's how these patent offices use it. So Bhaktisiddhanta's language is kind of like dictionary-like or encyclopedia-like. Everything, every the words is very precise. So the prototype Saraswati appears in Brahma Samhita in relation to Brahma receiving Gayatri. He receives two Gayatris. One from the prototype Saraswati, and the second from Krishna's flute, right in Brahma Samhita. Two different Gayatris. And so, the spiritual Saraswati, or the prototype Saraswati, is situated within the heart of Jayadeva. And the topics generated by the spiritual Saraswati were situated in the heart of Jayadeva to glorify. Shringara rasa means conjugal rasa, another name. So here's commentary on these verses. First, just the meaning of his name. There's a whole thing on the meaning of his name. The word Jayadeva means, quote, he who reveals, Deva, Krishna, or Jaya, by causing most fortunate persons to engage in worship of the Lord intimately. Another meaning is the person who is enlightened by Krishna and thus wise, kavihi, because that says, etam karoti jayadeva kavihi. thus wise. Or Jayadev means the Lord who is the who is victory, Jaya, and sport, Deva, namely Swayam Bhagavan. Jayadev Kavihi in this case means the poet who is named after the Lord, known as Jayadev. Victory and sport. Or Jayadev can mean he who rejoices, Deva, by the victory of Radhika, Jaya. Jayadev Kavihi in this case means Krishna and the poet. The poet and Krishna have written this work, which decisively binds up Prabandham, the hearts of the listeners. That's the last line. So the last line has just been explained. Etam karoti Jayadeva Kavihi Prabandham. Etam karoti Jayadeva Kavihi Prabandham. The cause of the work is explained. Sri refers to Radha, or one who worships, from the Dhatu, Sri, worships Krishna in order to obtain rasa, or it means she who is worshipped, Shriyate, by Krishna. In any case, Sri refers to Radha. And then mentioned in the verses, Vasudeva. Vasudeva means Nanda, since Vasudeva literally means, quote, he who shines, Vasudeva, amongst the Vasus. Vasudeva. He who shines amongst the Vasus has to be Nanda, because Drona entered into the body of Nanda, so it doesn't refer to Vasudeva. In the name-giving ceremony of Gargamuni, one of the eight verses says, your son has taken birth many times in different colors, and your son has appeared previously many times as the son of Vasudeva. But in this case, it's Nanda, because it's he who shines among the Vasus. Explaining the previous life of Nanda, it is said, Drona, Drono, Vasunam, Pravaha. That's this verse 48. Drona, the best of the Vasus, along with his wife Dara, spoke to Brahma. Or Vasudev means he who shines with all wealth. The son of Vasudev, later known as the son of Nanda, is Vasudeva, Krishna. That's one of the names given at the name-giving ceremony. Namakarna, he said, your son will be known as Vasudev because he's previously the son of Vasudev. This name, Vasudeva, Krishna, suggests that Krishna is endowed with qualities such as complete wealth. Or Vasu can also indicate residence, and thus Vasu means those who live in Vrindavan, like the gopis. Or Vasa, Vasu, can mean that which makes everything fragrant by the perfume of his pastimes. These are acharyas that like churn the nectar. But it's just describing a verse of Jayadev from Gita Govinda. Deva means one who shines with all qualities like beauty, or one who illuminates everything with his beauty, or It can mean he who conquers all by his skill. Or it can mean he who, enjoying Sringara Rasa, causes taste in his devotees. Or it can mean he who gives joy to his devotees by his pastimes. Or it can mean he who is delighted by his devotees. The root or dhatu of deva is div, which means to play, to try to conquer, to shine, to praise, to enjoy, to become intoxicated, to dream, to move, and to be beautiful. Thus, deva means the person who possesses the highest pastimes, qualities, conjugal rasa, and enjoyment. He who is both Vasu and Deva is called Vasudeva. That's taking one of the words from Gita Govinda verse. Jayadeva has written this work, endowed with topics of amorous pastimes, Rati Keli Kata. See if that's in the Sanskrit. Yes. That's the third line, is Sri Vasudeva Rati Keli Kata Sametam. So he's just commentators and explaining the words. He has written this work endowed with the descriptions of the couple, Radha Krishna, performing pastimes because of great anurag, or rati, that's rati, keli, kata. Quote, how does one have qualifications for the knowledge and conversations most inconceivable in beauty and other qualities of the couple possessing astonishing attraction? Answer. The poet's heart is the dwelling place made colorful with extraordinary poetry, and poetry endowed with qualities like sweetness and purity produced by the spiritual Saraswati. And that's the second line. His heart is like a house, since it is the abode of a great wealth of various poetic forms describing the Lord's various qualities and gives comforting shelter to all the devotees who need to rest. So let's go back up here. The third line is Padmavati Chanana Charana Chakravarti. And the first line is more alliteration. Vag Devata Charita Charita Chitta Samsadma. So I don't know how to sing this, but it'd be nice to have someone sing Gita Govinda. You want to sing Gita Govinda? I know some people know how to do that, but I don't. Very sweet. You heard also in your childhood?
No.
No? But you heard recordings?
My grandmother sings.
Oh?
But the teacher also.
He sings Gita Govinda.
Some of the verses he makes.
Oh. I bet it's very nice. I've been learning, by going through these commentaries, just a little sharing, I've been learning a lot about Krishna and the associates of Krishna and the loving exchanges with Krishna, and how in various ways our acharyas are especially appreciating the resident of Vrindavan. Like the resident of Vrindavan, are so fixed in understanding Krishna's position. Our acharyas are very, very absorbed in understanding the associates of Braja, like high magnification. And then it gets, you know, more detailed and more detailed and more detailed. Somebody sent me this thing that a Chinese fellow did, just showing a picture of a tree somewhere in Florida. Then it goes down and down and down and down and down and down, you know, in magnification times 10, magnification times 10. Then takes you back out, and you go out and out and out and out. So our acharyas have that capacity too. Not just by, you know, technology with computer science, but they understand the inner workings of the hearts of the devotees and Krishna too. And now everything moves just by Krishna's potencies, and extends some potency, this happens. Then he withdraws those potencies and extends another potency, and something else happens. And he's enjoying with his devotees, and the devotees are enjoying with him. And there's different modes of that enjoyment, and there's different intensities of love amongst those who have different modes of enjoyment. And it's really amazing how they are. There's several things that are starting to become more clear. To understand Krishna, you need the mercy of Krishna's devotees. And the Goswamis are highlighting the nature of Krishna's devotees, different devotees, and how they have very special love for him. And because of their very special love for him, he reciprocates with them accordingly, with very special love for them, that other people just don't have access to, they don't have the privilege for. And yet at the same time, he very kindly reciprocates with all kinds of personalities that aren't intimate associates of him, even in Vrindavan. Like, just in the morning we're reading The Serpent That Wanted to Swallow Nanda Maharaj. And he wasn't, you know, Bhakta Boa Constrictor. He was a vidyadhara that was cursed to take the body of a snake. And he was going to eat Nanda Maharaj because he was hungry. But he did a little service. He touched the lotus feet of Nanda as he was trying to swallow him from foot first. And so Krishna accepted him as his devotion, delivered him, gave him bhakti. It's likened to Putana, who, the little service that she did was she, in disguise to kill Krishna, she came as a mother. So Krishna accepted. She's my mother. She can be my mother eternally. So the point here is, Krishna is reciprocating especially with his devotees, but he's giving his mercy to all kinds of other people too. And that, because we're discussing it in the morning, Krishna wanted the people of Braja, not only the people that came with him, but the people that came to that Ambika Vana place to worship Lord Shiva and Shivaratri, to understand the risks without just giving them a stern lesson, the risks of offending Brahmanas. Because that's what happened with the Vidyadhara. person. He offended Ravanas. He got became a serpent. That's not too pleasant. So don't offend the Brahmanas. Don't offend anybody in Vrindavan, because they're very special. I'll tell two offending persons in Vrindavan stories. This one of them came from Sachinandan Swami. And, you know, he's a really good storyteller. And the way that he tells the story is he had a German friend that was taking a ride from Loy Bazaar back to the temple. And he did what you're supposed to do. He fixed a price before you get on the rickshaw. And then when he got off the rickshaw, the price went up. And the German devotee got angry and started shouting at the rickshaw wala, you know, this little fellow. And I guess the rickshaw wala understood enough English that they could understand what he was saying. He got insulted and he started to leave without receiving anything. And the German devotee took the rupees that he had pledged to give him and put it on the seat of the rickshaw. The rickshaw wala took the rupees and threw them on the ground and left. He was insulted. And that was the last he saw of that German devotee. He just disappeared when he went back to Germany, and he became a very fallen person. And Sachinandan Swami saw him later, didn't even recognize him because he looked so beat up. And then the devotee told Sachinandan Swami, "My name is such and such, and I got beat up because I offended the rickshaw wala," and told the story. And now I've learned a big lesson, but you know, to get back into the life of devotion is, this is a big hill to climb. And I know another devotee that was accompanying us on one of our yatras. And you know how the pandas harass people for money at different places. So without going into it too much, there was a group of five of them that were just harassing. And this devotee just screamed his head off, practically. And I felt something like just... And that person became mad. I mean, not right at the moment, but in course of time. So don't mess with the Vrijbasis, even rickshaw walas and aggressive pandas. You know, you can't lose it with Vrijbasis because they're dear to Krishna somehow or other. So we don't judge them, we don't mix with them. We should be very careful. They're dear to Krishna, and we don't understand their devotion. And they may try to cheat you, and they may try to, you know, reach in your pocket and do, you know, bad things. Be really careful. So what to speak? So Krishna wanted the persons that were at coming to this Shivratri festival to understand something. So he instructed them through the Vidyadhara who said it. He said the whole thing. Krishna didn't even have to say it. He had him say it. It was pretty dramatic because the king was being swallowed by the snake. Krishna liberated the snake, and then the Vidyadhara said, "Oh, he became a snake by offending Brahmins." So he liberated the Vidyadhara. He was doing many things at one time, and then. Seamlessly, he withdraws those potencies and goes on to the next thing. It's just pretty wonderful. how Krishna does what he does, and how we can understand what Krishna, what to speak of why he does what he does, without the assistance of course, Shukadeva Goswami explaining, and our acharyas elaborating further. But it's very confidential what we're able to hear. Confidential in the sense that it's guyam. It's not like, it's just hidden from worldly vision. Worldly people can't understand all this stuff. It's gobbledygook and they're not interested. If I can't make money, you know, time is money. Why am I going to waste my time? So, for devotees, it's purifying. Specifically, it's purifying. It's the medicine for the sage of Kali that cures the darkness of ignorance of the age of Kali. And on the other side, it awakens our natural ecstatic love for Krishna just hearing the pastimes. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. And I'm looking forward to another month of it. Just every morning, every evening, diving into Srimad Bhagavatam with devotees and discussing the topics together. So let's see if there's some... What we've been doing is the people that are assembled here get a chance to discuss whatever topics you'd like. And then that gives people who are watching remotely a chance to send in a text message or two. So I should have said this at the very beginning, but you have an important service to do, to raise a question or two, even if you don't have a question, to give time for the online people to send in something. Any topics you'd like to discuss? Yes. The father is with a short A and the son is with a long A. Vasudeva is the father and Vasudeva is the son. Like Vasudeva Sarvaviti Sambahatma Sudranapam. Vasudeva means Krishna. Bhuvanam Janmanamante Gyanavanma Prabhajate. Vasudeva Sarvaviti. Vasudeva Krishna. Fathers, Shorty, Vasudev.
Sometimes when I'm reading Bhagavatam, I'm like, should I say Vasudev or should I say Vasudev?
Once you get it down, it's real easy. You just look with it, is there long A or short A? And the pronunciation is different. That's why I try to be very careful with, like, we're used to saying Yashoda as Yasoda, but it's Yashoda because the female name has the long A at the end, commonly, like Prita or Kunti or Subhadra, commonly. So Vasudeva is the son of Vasudeva. That's why it is what it is. Yeah.
Maharaj, so you mentioned partial expansion, so I wanted to ask, what is the difference between like a full expansion and a partial expansion?
Okay, it's technical, and living entities are called angsas also, right? Mame vangsa, jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, mam, Eva, Angsa, there it is. Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Living entities are my fragmental parts. That's what Angsa is. So qualitatively one with qualitatively different from is angsa. And then there's plenary expansion, it's the fullness. One candle lighting another candle, same illumination, same heat. A spark is an angsa, and the fire is vidhu. That's okay.
So, if we look at the ocean and the molecule of water,
okay.
It's the same water.
Yes, it is.
So the whole world, the universe, is basically an extension of Krishna.
Is this expansion of Krishna? Yeah, expansion of his potency.
Yeah. So when we say that Krishna descended to this world. So, you know, when I say I go from Houston to Dallas, because they are separate, but if this world is an extension of Krishna, so what, it's not separate from Krishna. So when we say he descended to this world, what is the best way to understand? Because it's not separate, it's the same.
I got the dilemma. I'm waiting for you to pause so I can give an answer.
Okay.
Two things. When Krishna descends, he descends in one of his dhams, which is also eternal. Okay, you with me?
But the
dham
is also extension of him.
Yeah, but that's it. I just, okay. Maybe you don't have to go in pieces because you're going to keep asking the same question. there's the world. Let's do it this way. In New York, there's an Indian embassy. In Chicago, there's an Indian embassy. And the Indian embassy is in Chicago or New York. But it's India. The paper cops are from India, and the police are from India. You violate the law, you're subject to the laws of India when you're in the embassy, although it's in New York or Chicago. That's a material example. So Krishna's eternal abode will go like this. We've been discussing this. Goloka, or Krishna Loka, is in the spiritual sky, there's no touch of matter, or the modes of nature, or anything. There's no demons, there's no passage of time, even, because time destroys things, nothing. Time doesn't act. Time as we know it doesn't act. That's Krishna Loka. Then there's this place called Vrindavan that you cannot enter just by buying a ticket. You can go to Vrindavan by buying a ticket, but you can't enter into the spiritual realm, Krishna Loka or Goloka or Gokula, by buying a ticket. You can, the traffic and the houses and the pigs and the dirt and the smells and stuff. That's not the spiritual realm. That's Bhaktivinoda calls that like oil on top of water. You see the oil, you don't see the water that's underneath the oil. So beneath the oil is the water. There is an eternal embassy that's not different than Krishna Loka in this realm, but that's what the meaning of descending is. Now, then there's this realm of your question, everything. earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, these are my separated energies. But they're his separated energies, it's not the energetic. And then there's his spiritual energy, that's the living entity, and this material realm is made up of those two. Para and apara prakriti. And it's from him, so in one sense it's him. And in another sense it's not him. It's a portion, a fragmental portion of his potencies, what to speak, a fragmental portion of him, not just his potencies, pervades and maintains and supports the whole universe. So that's what speak of the earth planet or any part of it. So there's a distinction between energy and energetic, while saying the energy and energetic don't exist separately, there is a distinction between them. One is the energetic and the other is the energy of the energetic. So although they're non-different than him, it's different than him simultaneously. That's Lord Chaitanya's teaching. So when we say he descends, it's into this place that's different and non-different from him. And the spiritual realm that exists, like, you know, the embassy exists, It's absolutely not different than Krishna Loka. And our acharyas have been teaching, and yet there is greater sweetness in Gokula than Goloka or Krishna Loka. And that added sweetness includes Krishna's attracting the hearts and the minds of conditioned souls by his manifest pastimes in this world that even bad people can see. Shishupals can see. Kamsa can see. The washerman can see. Along with devotees can see. And the devotees are taken back to the spiritual world. And the demons are elevated by seeing Krishna. And so forth. There's special compassion in the manifest pastime realm compared to the unmanifest pastime realm, although they're not different. When you read, if you read the last section of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, you'll find Gopakumar says, I can now travel between the two, and I don't even know where I am because they're so similar. I can't tell the difference. There is no difference. There is a difference. One is in this realm, the other is in that realm. The abode, the transcendental abode, there's no difference. The embassy in India. And that's why, you know, in different countries, based on what just happened in America, people are throwing firebombs at the American embassy, because it means they're throwing firebombs at America. It's not just symbolic. Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, you mentioned about spiritual Saraswati versus material Saraswati.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from what we understood or what we learned, material Saraswati is the consort of Lord Brahma.
Yes.
So, where does spiritual Saraswati reside?
In the spiritual world.
And does Brahma also?
Huh?
Brahma is not there, right? So it's
Brahma is born. She's not. She's eternal. No, her form and activities and details, don't have that Puranic information, so you can ask, but the answer is I don't know. But she exists in the spiritual realm. It's an aspect of Krishna's Shaktis. She's the prototype from which the demigoddess Saraswati is manifest. Because everything that's in this realm has its spiritual counterpart, not only Saraswati. Everything has its spiritual counterpart. You're the remaining party. Have anything?
Yes, I've had this question, Maharaj, for a little while now. So, in a lecture, I heard something about meditation, and I'm kind of confused on what meditation really is. Is it focused chanting, or is it in the Bhagavad Gita you have to take the mat and meditate upon the Lord? I'm kind of confused in what the definition of meditation is.
Are you confused about the object or what the function of meditation is? Then it's objects, so it helps. Objects can be this or that or the other thing. Let's take Simone Biles. She's got a strong meditation. It's not spiritual meditation, but when she does what she does, her body can't do what her body does without her mind being really fixed. Her body's built for what she does. I'm using her as an example because she's often looked to as the best athlete in the world today. So to do anything, there's some meditation involved. Yeah? So meditation means fixing the mind on something. And the form can be material or spiritual. And in the spiritual side, the object can be a deity. It can be a pastime. It can be mantra, etc. What meditation is fixing the mind on something. And in the Eightfold Yoga system, you know what that is? Ashtanga Yoga? Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, you know those? Many people go to yoga class. They just do asanas. You know what asanas are? Sitting postures in yoga class.
Oh, yes, I've heard of
them. Okay. So then sometimes some yoga teachers, they also teach pranayama, breath. They don't so much teach yama and niyama. That's like the do's and the don'ts. They just skip that because that means people have to restrict them, their senses. People don't want to hear about that. So they skip it. But if they do it properly, it starts there. And then number five, so that's the do's and the don'ts, asanas, pranayama, that's four. And pratyahara, I'm going to get to the meditation topic, but pratyahara is what Bhishma Dev did. He withdrew his senses. His ear didn't go inside his head. It means the power of hearing, the power of sight, the power of smelling, the sense, not the organ, but the power of sense was withdrawn and consolidated within the mind. That's number five, called pratyahara. And then comes three stages of meditation, which is your question. Dhyana, dharana, and samadhi. There's stages and stages and stages. So meditation can be in stages. The ultimate is samadhi. If you want to find out about samadhi, you can read, that's a meditation found in Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, think it's like text 28 through 31, something like that, as a definition of samadhi. Fantastic purport. Very relevant to Hare Krishna, you know, mantra chanters. Samadhi. So there's degrees of meditation. There's the spiritual and material forms of meditation. There are different objects for meditation, but the topic of what meditation is very simply fixing the mind, or striving to fix the mind, even when the mind is distracted, like when we put our hand in our bead bag and start chanting. We're not really meditating, we're distracted. I mean, we're trying to meditate, but commonly distracted. Meditation means to practice, that's the sadhana of mantra meditation. Bring the mind to the sound.
Yes, I have a follow-up question on that. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, they were saying something about being in a secluded place.
Being where?
In a secluded
place. Secluded place, sure. That's the Ashtanga yoga system.
So, in my daily life, do I have to
do? No, you don't do Ashtanga yoga either.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that okay?
Yes.
What we do, that's the Ashtanga yoga chapter 6. What we do is what Brahma says. You can look it up later, because you have a Srimad Bhagavatam set here. 10.14.3. That's your meditation. Brahma's. And that same verse is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted from Ramananda Roy. The goal of life and how to achieve it, 10.14.3. That's your meditation. Doesn't say anything about going to a secluded place. It says the opposite. Stane istatak. Stay in your position. Right here in good old Katy, Texas. And then, what it says is, you know, what not to do and what to do. To do your meditation nicely. Yane prayasa udapashyana manta eva. You give up mental speculation and engage in the hearing process. And then from what you hear, that's what you meditate on. Hearing process from proper sources. That's your meditation. Just a little practical example. Someone, maybe he lives in Singapore and he's probably attending class right now, said that after hearing these morning and evening classes, when he's chanting his japa in the morning, his mind is going to the pastime. No. He wanted to know, is that okay? It's more than okay. And make sure that it doesn't take your mind away from the mantra, because when you're doing mantra meditation, you're doing mantra meditation. But pastime to Krishna may appear in the mind, and that's not like, you know, you got an F in your exam. You're just fine, but make sure you're hearing the mantra, because that's what mantra meditation is. And that's that object.
Maharaj, I think this may be the Puranic reference to spiritual Saraswati in Jagannath Astakam. So, and the translation says, who is an ocean of mercy whose bodily complexion is as beautiful as a row of blackish rain clouds, whose pores with Lakshmi Devi and Saraswati.
Huh. Fantastic. So So there we go. Fantastic. Online.
One question from Atulya Devadasi.
Okay.
She says, this is from Radha.
Yeah.
A little 9-year-old.
This is also Radha.
Oh, but how old are you?
I'm 12.
12.
A little unrelated question. What is the position of Ajamila in the spiritual world? When Ajamila went back to Godhead, what happened to both of his wives? Did they also go to Vaikuntha?
She's a character.
When one goes back to Godhead, how does it help their relatives?
Well, we don't have the information of what happened when he went back to Godhead. And there's merit that goes, he had a wife and he had a prostitute. But, you know, we don't hear too much about his wife. We hear about the prostitute. And that spiritual merit goes to those with whom you have association, not just husbands and wives, but those even beyond family members, those that you have some relationship with, merit goes to them. And what that looks like a lot depends on, you know, the person. You know, the other person, how they're recipients of that mercy from the one who became an exalted devotee. But what Prabhupada, here's something that Prabhupada was asked. It said, if one becomes a pure devotee, then so many generations before and after you become liberated. What's that liberation? And his answer was, they'll get the opportunity to engage in devotional service in their next life. They can also say no, but the opportunity. Okay.
Next question from Vallabhi Mataji.
Okay.
She asks, with the unparalleled love of Nanda Maharaj for Krishna, did he consider Krishna his own son or Vasudev's son?
He considered him his own son. Nothing, no question about it.
Having knowledge that Yashoda had given birth to twins.
Whether he had knowledge of Mother Yashoda giving birth to twins or not, Krishna's my son. That's it, period, exclamation point. Nothing else.
Next question is from Uttama Bhakta Prabhu.
Hmm.
If one is selfless and has feelings of love and desire to serve Krishna, will divine intelligence come automatically?
Nothing comes automatically, but it will come by Krishna's mercy. And, you know, Krishna's mercy means it may come in trickles, or it may come in a flood, or it may come however it comes. It's up to Krishna. That's it. Are we done? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.